Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, you health renaissance people. Yes, okay, today, healthy parents equal healthy kids. I know that seems kind of basic, except when you look at our stats today, 1 in 2, 50% of our children have a chronic illness or disease. 1 in 2, that's 50%. So statistically, our population is not going to make it. So we're going to go over in this episode to explain how your body works. I mean, literally, what do you pass on to your kids? And now this is important, not just if you've are thinking about having a kid, if you've had a kid, if you know someone that's going to have a kid. This is our species. What things do we pass on to our child? You talk about the ultimate ancient cultures. They talk about looking down the road 7 generations. So every action we do today, think of what it's going to affect, not just your children, but your great-great-great-great-grandchildren. How will our decisions today affect them? Well, we're in a crisis now because we're not doing things thinking long-term. Now, in relationships to parent and kids, what kind of things do you actually pass on to your kid? Well, we know that we have DNA. You pass on genetics or your genetic memory. And this is what's interesting, because all the things that we've gone through and learned in our life, we've developed a genetic memory for. And this has to do with viral exposures, pathogens, environmental adaptation. I mean, all the things that have made us survive, we pass on to our offspring, so our offspring can survive as well. We pass on immune system, which is cellular memory. We pass on also our microflora, bacteria that we have in our skin and in our gut. We pass on viruses and fungi. And we also pass on toxins, usually during pregnancy, where if the mom during her pregnancy is eating certain things or breathing in certain toxins, we're exposing the child to that, but they can also have a benefit effect on the kid so that they can adapt. And we also pass on eating and lifestyle habits. What do unhealthy parents pass on? How do unhealthy parents create unhealthy children? Well, for one, they pass on changes in the DNA, epigenetic changes. That means if a parent has certain lifestyle aspects, there's actually a control above the genes that can negatively affect the genes. They can pass on a weakened immune system. They can also pass on weak microflora. Accumulated toxins can be passed on to your children, even an unhealthy diet and unhealthy lifestyle. See, what we're doing, we're coming up to the perfect storm. And I'm talking about parents that were born in the 80s. So right now they're in their, 30s, and sure enough, they're thinking about giving birth. So we take someone, like a mom and dad, who are both in their early 30s. The mom, of course, she's been on birth control or estrogen for most of her 20s. She's been eating genetically modified food. She has a good job, so she has good health insurance, so she gets a flu shot every year, even though those are neurotoxic and has cancer-causing agents in them. She's received about 36 vaccines because she was born in the 80s. Before the massive increase in vaccines. Of course, she's had occasional antibiotics, and her food is healthy choice, microwaved food, so it's toxic. Now, she meets up with this guy who's mid-30s. Of course, he's had a lot of BPAs, drinking water out of plastic, so he has changes in sperm count. He has been exposed to genetically modified foods. He also has a good job and good health insurance, so he gets flu shots every year, 36 vaccines, antibiotics, toxic food. So, I mean, we're talking sick mom to sick dad. They give birth to a child. The child, okay, during the birth process, the mom gets Pitocin and an epidural, super common in an American hospital, that increases neurologic damage 60%. Now, of course, this is causing trauma in the kid, so they do a C-section. We're up to 80% C-section rates in Florida. Now, they say anything over the World Health Organization, anything over 7% is an area of concern, because too many C-sections means that the doctors are getting too aggressive. Of course, the child's got hepatitis B vaccine in the first 12 hours. Since the mom had Pitocin and an epidural, she has a problem with milk letdown. So the pediatrician, in his brilliance, suggests a genetically modified soy-based formula made with fluoridated water and microwaved in plastic. Okay, so now this toxic stuff goes into the kid. Of course, the kid starts to throw up. Just had a 5-month-old child on antacids. And of course, the kid's going to have ear infections, so they'll be prescribed antibiotics. And they get vaccinated on day 1, week 4, 8 weeks, 24 weeks, 1 year, 18 months, 2 years, and 4 to 6 years. So the kid will get more vaccines than his mom and dad had in their whole life in the first 2 years. Perfect storm. What's the result of this psychosis? 1 in 2 children have U.S. children have a chronic illness or disease. 21%, that's nearly 1 in 4, are developmentally disabled. Current rate of autism is, according to the CDC, 1 in 45, but it's actually 1 in 28 if you look at some of the statistics out there. Infant mortality in the U.S., we were ranked 12th in the world in infant mortality. Currently, we're ranked 58th in the world. That means 26,000 babies in this country die before their first year of birth. Course infant mortality rate, this is the ability of a child to survive the first year. We're behind every industrialized nation. And obviously, the autism rates are crazy. But should things not change? And I feel kind of like the ghost in Scrooge. Are these the choices that have to be, or can we change? I'm telling you right now, if we don't change by 2025, that's only 8 more years. 1 in 2 children in America will be born with autism. Because remember that scenario that I said? A mom with 36 vaccines, a dad with 36 vaccines, giving birth to a child with 69 doses of 16 different vaccines. What do you think that child's going to be mating with? That's right. If that child grows up and is able to give birth, if there is any fertility left, they're going to be mating with somebody that's had 69 vaccines, giving birth to a child with some challenges. So how can we avoid the psychosis? Well, let's make it really, really simple. And avoid things that damage your DNA and cause epigenetic changes. You can optimize your immune system function. You can strengthen your microflora. You can detox your body of any toxins, and you can maintain a healthy diet and lifestyle. I know it sounds too simple, but let's break it down. Break it down piece by piece. What kind of things can damage your DNA and cause epigenetic changes? Well, first, what is DNA? Deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA, it encodes the genetic instructions used for the development and functioning of all living organisms. Now, when they started the Human Genome Project, they were super excited. They figured they'd find 100,000 genes in the human body because there's about 100,000 proteins the body makes. However, turns out there's about 20,000 genes in the human being, about the same as a mouse. So there's something above the genes, or epigenetics. And this is actually what turns on gene expression. See, when you hear all of this stuff about genetic and genetic expression, it's vital that you understand that the difference between gene. Let's say you have a gene in your family that can cause cancer. Well, you can suppress that gene or express that gene. That means that you can have that gene come out and cause cancer, or you can suppress it. So there's actually a control above your genes, or an epigenetic control. And that's what's exciting. However, what kind of things are known to cause epigenetic changes? And I'm talking changes that can damage a healthy genetic expression. Well, we know medications can cause epigenetic changes. And what kind of medications? Cholesterol drugs, antidepressants, blood pressure drugs, methotrexate, anti-inflammatories. This means like Motrin, Advil, Aleve, ibuprofen. Anesthetics, oral contraceptives, antibiotics. Okay, all of these can cause epigenetic changes. So when we're talking to healthy parents, equal healthy kids, what kind of drugs have you been exposed to? I mean, according to the Journal of Metabolism Clinical and Experimental, and this is way back in 2008, quote, FDA-approved pharmaceutical drugs can cause persistent epigenetic changes. Researchers are more concerned that drugs may produce defects in subsequent generations. This is damaging. We're already seeing that our kids, one and two, have an illness. Well, what other aspects of disease are this overuse of pharmaceutical products causing? Well, according to this journal, heart disease, cancer, nerve and mental disorders, obesity, diabetes, leukemia, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, infertility, sexual dysfunction, all of these can be caused by modern pharmaceuticals. A quote out of that journal, quote, "Consequences for modern medicine are profound, since it would imply that our current understanding of pharmacology is an oversimplification." End of quote. Boy, that's an understatement of the month. So what you have to do, if you're taking a medication, you got to find out why you're taking it. Now, we have to optimize our immune system function and strengthen our microflora. So what kind of things disrupt the microflora? Well, we know vaccinations, antibiotics, medications, and processed foods. First, let's look at vaccines. When you realize that we have, let's boil the immune system response down to two aspects, a Th1 response and a Th2 response. Th1 is what you get from your normal immune system response, where you get a virus, fungus, or pathogen exposed to the mucous membranes. And what this is going to do, it's going to cause your body to respond with a cellular and humoral response so that you can mount a defense that you can actually have genetic memory on and pass on to your offspring. And this can give lifetime immunity, but you require a healthy gut flora with it. So that's how the immune system is supposed to work long term. Now, there's an acute inflammatory response called a Th2 response. And that's kind of like the immune system response you'd get if you had a splinter. And that's going to be short term, and it mainly teaches your body to respond with inflammation. Here's the challenge. We're shooting 69 doses of 16 different vaccines in our children, which is teaching their body to respond with inflammation. So the inflammatory process, this is why we're seeing a lot of inflammatory illnesses in our kids. So the allergies, asthma, bowel disorders, breathing disorders, all of these are inflammatory responses. So we have to rethink the vaccine question. Like find out if there's antibodies produced, what's the risk of disease versus the risk of the vaccine. Now let's look at antibiotics. Antibiotics are anti means against, bio means life. So we have this drug that will actually kill bacteria. However, we need bacteria. Without healthy bacteria, we're going to upset this delicate balance of our intestinal terrain. And that means that yeast and fungi and candida can take over. And this is what's called dysbiosis. Now, yeast actually have these little tendrils that can bore holes in the intestinal tract and you actually have undigested proteins and nutrients leaking into the bloodstream, and that can cause an inflammatory response. Well, you might say, hey, look, I don't take antibiotics. I got to tell you, you're exposed to it through the concentrating feedlot operations, or they're called CAFOs. So if you're eating commercially produced animals, you're eating antibiotics. Glyphosates. Okay, now this is the main ingredient in Roundup Ready, or Roundup, and this is what's used in, it's now poisoning our water system. They just recently listed it as a carcinogen. It's for in virtually every bread product that's not organic. It's an herbicide which kills plants. The challenge also, it destroys the bacteria in your gut, weakening your immune system, and can actually cause mineral deficiencies. It's a mineral chelator and weakens your immune system. So if you're taking any non-organic grain products, you're going to be eating glyphosates. Now, there's a number of charts we're going to bring up with glyphosates applied to corn and soy and autism rates. Of course, we know autistic kids have gut issues, and one of the gut issues is going to be from vaccines. The other aspect of gut issues are going to be from antibiotics given or received through food. And the third aspect that destroys the gut is glyphosate exposure. So what's the solution for glyphosates? First, eliminate all GMO foods and glyphosate-contaminated foods. That means look at packaged or processed foods. Eliminate it unless it's 100% organic. No non-organic meat, because they're typically fed GMO food. And avoid food labels natural or all natural. Look for organic. Organic, okay, is it? Second step, we've got to optimize your gut flora. This means to be a healthy parent, to produce a healthy kid, you got to have a healthy gut flora. And this means organic, plant-based diet. This means locally grown seasonal foods. You can actually grow a lot of this stuff at home. Even if you're living in an apartment, they have gardens of walls that you can literally start growing stuff inside of your rooms. Healthy fats such as coconut oil and olive oil are vital. Fermented vegetables so that we can replenish that gut biosis. Probiotic supplements, juiced vegetables, blended fruits, raw dairy is phenomenal if you can find it, and reduce omega-6 and increase animal-based omega-3s. See, fermented foods, and again, this is building up the gut flora, help promote the growth of beneficial bacteria. It also keeps funguses, yeast, and candida in check. That's what bacteria actually eat. And where can you get this fermented foods? Well, look at kefir or fermented milk, kombucha, sauerkraut, pickles, miso, kimchi. I mean, there's so many things. See, the functions of your gut flora are so intimately connected to your immune system. You're talking, it's digest and absorbs carbohydrates. It produces vitamin. Absorbs minerals, eliminates toxins. The normal gut flora distinguishes between pathogens, and it keeps harmful bacteria under control. Now we've got to detox the body. How does the body detox? Let's say that you're 30, you've got 36 vaccines, maybe you're in the military, you got another dozen or so, and you've been exposed to toxic foods. So how do we detox your system? Well, for one, dark green leafy vegetables, absolutely phenomenal. These things are like magnets. That means kale, spinach, dandelion greens, broccoli. Broccoli leaves are out of this world if you can find them. Chlorella. Increase your diet to where you're getting this sauteed, blended, juiced. I mean, it's phenomenally good for detoxing your system. Also, glutathione. Glutathione is the greatest. It's like a master antioxidant. It's the main detoxification system. And where do you get it? You get it in raw dairy. You can get it in sulfur-rich components like the cruciferous family. Garlic, onions, broccoli, kale, cabbage, cauliflower, watercress, all of these things are loaded with glutathione. Then you have to maintain a healthy diet and lifestyle, because think of this, what stressors are we under? What does chronic stress do? Chronic stress increases blood sugar, decreases protein synthesis, causes osteoporosis, all because of chronic stress. I mean, short-term is stress, you're talking adrenal insufficiency, a lower functioning thyroid. So how many people are diagnosed with low functioning thyroid when they don't have a low functioning thyroid? All they got is an inflammatory state or some type of physical, chemical, or emotional stressor. Because remember, that stress response, that increased stress, causes your thyroid to appear low and the adrenal glands to work harder. So we have to look at the physical, chemical, or emotional stress load and correct it. Because I got to tell you, adaption to chronic stress affects the digestive system, the reproductive system, the endocrine system. The stress is the single most important factor in achieving pregnancy or not being successful at achieving pregnancy. But you have to identify the physical, chemical, or emotional stressors that's causing that. Okay, now, there's so many conditions or situations in the past, particularly in World War II, where when the rapes were occurring, pregnancies didn't resolve because there was such a stressful circumstance. And then after the war, oh my gosh, pregnancy rates shot up. Because if the woman is in a stressful environment, she's not going to want to have an implantation. She's not going to want a nest. So women and men, look at your physical, chemical, or emotional stressors and deal with them effectively. For physical stress, you've got to look at a corrective chiropractor. You got to make sure that you are getting the nervous system working correctly. And you've got the sympathetic and parasympathetic, that fight or flight or that rest, digest, and repair. That fight or flight, the sympathetic dominant state, which means your body is just trying to survive. And the parasympathetic, the rest, digest, and repair, that's mainly active at night. So if you're getting poor sleep patterns, you've got to get that corrected. That's why when we talk about the five keys to health, we talk about getting your nervous system checked. You need to get a proper nerve supply and make sure that nervous system is balanced, because any physical, chemical, or emotional stress load is going to be negatively affecting your health and your immune system and your ability to reproduce. You need to get regular exercise. This means at least 30 minutes a day. Ideally, you're walking barefoot on the grass. You need to get proper nutrition. That means if man makes it, you don't eat it. So this means organic, healthy, range-free, hormone-free. You know, animal products once a week to once a month or less or none. This means sufficient rest, deep sleep every night, and prayer and meditation. You got to have that connection with God. So what's the recipe for healthy children? Okay, I hope you're writing this down because this is vital. Picture a mom, okay, that has never taken oral contraceptives or she's been away from them for at least 6 months to a year. The mom takes no medications. That means no Advil, Motrin, Aleve, all of which can cause epigenetic changes. She's not taking cholesterol meds. She's not taking blood pressure meds. No medications whatsoever and no vaccinations. Why? Because she's working on her Th1 or long-term immune system response so she can pass it on to her kids. She eats an organic plant-based diet and she has a healthy lifestyle where she exercises. Now, the dad, she finds this guy really attractive. So we're talking no medications. The dad is totally drug-free. He drinks 3 liters of water a day, works out. He takes no high blood pressure medications, no vaccinations, nothing. He is also on an organic plant-based diet, and he has healthy lifestyles. No wonder he's attractive to her. Now, they give birth, but they give birth intelligently. They decide to do a natural birth at home. This means midwife. This means in a safe environment so that the mom is able to move around during the birth process. During the birth process, there's like a dance between the mother and child. She's not walking around with an IV in her arm. And the child and mom are moving back and forth all the time while the child is repositioning himself to exit out of the birth canal. Now, of course, during her pregnancy, she never got a vaccine. Why? Because it says it's never even been tested on pregnant animals. So you don't want to get a DPT or a flu shot. And of course, during the pregnancy, she never took any medications because she knows that that can negatively affect the DNA structure and expression, that it can have a DNA expression on the kid. Now, the child, when he's born, he's going to receive no vaccines, no medications, and going to be 100% breastfed. And the mom is going to be on an organic plant-based diet. And as the kid grows up, he's also going to be on an organic plant-based diet. Imagine that. A child raised healthy from healthy parents. I know it's a shocker because we're talking uncommon sense that this fear and ignorance of medical interventions, intervening in stuff that they shouldn't be intervening with, is causing a very sick population. And we only have a few more years of this. If you got two choices, either ignorance or evil, if the system is set up to where there's complete ignorance of the population to just do ignorance and fear and scare people into getting toxic food, medications, and vaccines, which are damaging our population, or if they're just completely ignorant that they're doing damage. Look on our site. We've got the greatest disease database that I've ever seen. It's drjohnbergman.com, drjohnbergman.com. And I would love to invite you on our cruise, September 14th to the 22nd. Can't do it. There's no more cabins available. But however, all the seminars that we do on the boat are going to be filmed. And the videos will be available on this Udemy site. And it's going to be available for you to download, to look at. So I can't take you to France or Spain or Italy. Although I got to tell you, you know what? My one thing I'm looking forward to is a crescent roll looking over the Mediterranean from France, because they don't use GMO grains, and a cup of organic coffee, which they only allow organic coffee over there. So it's going to be crescent roll coffee overlooking the Mediterranean from France. I can't share that experience with you, but I will try and film it, and that'll be on the Udemy series too. And next year, 2018, we're going to do a cruise on the Mexican Riviera. So it'll be based in California. Realize, okay, and I know if you're going to Target or you're going to a large, you're going to be in a group of a lot of people, start looking around. Look at the swelling of the legs. Look at the swelling of the throat. Look at the kid's behavior. Look at the dark circle around the kid's eyes. You're looking at a very, very sick population. The only way that we can turn it around is by taking charge of this ourselves. We have to make a difference. And we're coming up to the point where we don't really have a choice. We have to make a difference. We got to make a difference now. This is Dr. John Bergman. Our difference starts with our kids, but our kids start with parents. Keep yourself healthy. keep your kids healthy, keep our family healthy, keep our community healthy. And we do that not by abdicating authority to a medical system. We get our health by taking charge of it ourselves. You were made in the image and likeness of God. God bless you.